Hello, and welcome to your Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing on Mainstream Media News. Brought to you on behalf of The Great Awakening, Roelpert, we're genuinely glad to have you joining us for another deep dive into the information shaping our world. Here on The Deep Dive, our mission is, well, pretty straightforward. We take a stack of information like the week's biggest headlines from the mainstream media, and we meticulously extract those crucial nuggets of knowledge, giving you a shortcut, hopefully, to being truly well-informed. We're here to help you understand what's really important, uncover surprising facts, and maybe spark more than a few aha moments. Today, we're doing exactly that, sifting through the mainstream media's featured news for the past week. But we're not just passively consuming, right? We're approaching it with discernment, ready to connect the dots, see the bigger picture. Because, as our sources consistently remind us, the headlines often contain pieces of truth, but rarely, if ever, the full story.
That's a crucial distinction. And for you, the astute listener who already follows these topics, we're approaching mainstream media, or MSM as our sources often call it, not as a primary source of definitive truth, but more like a text to be, well, strategically decoded. These are the large corporate-owned networks. They largely control the flow of information. They are undeniably heavily resourced, but also deeply intertwined with government, corporate, financial interests. You know, their coverage tends to reflect the priorities of institutional power, often shaping narratives rather than just reporting facts. So our goal then is to identify those pieces of truth, recognize where stories might be framed to distract or downplay, and then most importantly, connect them. By comparing what MSM highlights with other perspectives, distinct patterns emerge. Omissions, contradictions, sometimes even hidden agendas. This practice shifts news consumption from passive acceptance to conscious decoding.
Okay, let's unpack this week's briefing then. We've got five fascinating and, yeah, potentially unsettling stories from the mainstream that, when placed side by side, truly begin to paint a powerful interconnected picture. We'll be diving into the Federal Reserve's independence being rigorously tested, the unexpected sight of troops on the streets of the nation's capital, the escalating cartel power struggle down in Mexico, growing trade tensions between the U.S. and India, and the looming formidable threat of Hurricane Erin. This next point really deepens our understanding of the current global landscape. Our first story takes us straight to the heart of global finance. The world's markets are fixated on Fed Chair Jerome Powell's Jackson Hole address. The air has been thick with anticipation, hasn't it? We've seen significant volatility across equities, bonds, currencies.
Yeah,
This market agitation is all driven by the profound uncertainty surrounding the central bank's next move. Investors are eagerly weighing the possibility of interest rate cuts, maybe as early as the upcoming September meeting. The whispers are that a shift in policy could send, well, shockwaves or ripples across the global economy.
And the stakes for global markets are, without exaggeration, incredibly high. A dovish tilt from Powell signaling a more accommodative monetary policy could spark a robust market rally. Lower borrowing costs, more liquidity.
Right.
Conversely, a cautious or even hawkish stance risks deepening anxieties over global growth and inflation, potentially dampening economic sentiment. So, his tone, whether signaling flexibility or restraint, has become the focal point for traders, policymakers, corporate leaders. It's almost like watching a high wire act, you know, every single step is scrutinized.
And overlaying all this financial tension is a very sharp escalation of political pressure directly from the White House. Specifically, President Trump has openly threatened to fire Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook if she doesn't resign. This move has been widely described as unprecedented in modern U.S. political history. And our sources highlight that Trump's demand is reportedly linked to allegations of past mortgage fraud against Governor Cook, which adds a specific and pretty contentious layer to this challenge against Fed independence. This feels like more than just political theater, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It strikes at the fundamental principles of economic governance. This kind of direct intervention raises alarms not just in financial circles, but among constitutional scholars, too. They warn that undermining the Fed's autonomy risks politicizing monetary policy, turning economic decisions into partisan battles.
Yeah, you can see why.
We've seen reports, for example, of Federal Reserve's Waller suggesting the central bank should cut rates at the next meeting. So that indicates there are internal divisions, even as other articles explain why the Federal Reserve has historically been designed to be independent of the White House.
Right, that separation.
Exactly. What's noteworthy here is how these twin dynamics, Powell's high-stakes message and Trump's combative posture, create a truly precarious moment. Economic policy and political power colliding with undeniable force. For the Fed, its very credibility hangs in the balance, testing its ability to project the independence essential for market stability.
Okay, moving from these high-stakes economic battles to a surprising domestic development, President Trump has ordered a larger deployment of National Guard units in Washington, D.C., citing the critical need for public order and stability. If you've been in the Capitol, you really can't miss the visuals. Armored vehicles, heavily armed soldiers, at major intersections, metro stations, near federal landmarks like the U.S. Capitol. It's a very visible, almost jarring presence.
The White House has justified this as a decisive response to rising crime and disorder, pointing to spikes in violent incidents, gang-related activity. However, local law enforcement data paints a, well, mixed picture. Some crime categories actually declining.
Interesting contrast.
It is. And this contrast has fueled significant debate. Critics, including civil liberties groups, are raising serious alarms. They're talking about mission creep and the militarization of public safety, calling it a dangerous precedent.
Danger of precedent.
Yeah. We've seen associated articles discussing federal agents setting up checkpoints, asking for immigration status, which has apparently left residents on edge, sparked protests, even three states pledging to send their own troops.
Wow. It definitely feels like the optics of uniformed soldiers standing guard are as much about political messaging as security. Designed to project a strong sense of control, maybe. But is there a line where this kind of show of force actually becomes counterproductive, eroding public trust instead of reinforcing order?
That's a vital question. The broader implications here are, well, this deployment underscores a strategy of using federal power to project centralized control, not solely a response to immediate threats, perhaps. It raises an important question for you, the listener. Are we witnessing genuine protection for residents or a symbolic show of force meant to reinforce a particular vision of authority?
Yeah.
This situation critically tests the evolving balance between local autonomy, federal authority, and the nation's democratic norms, and this challenge to sovereignty, the balance of power. It's a theme we'll find echoing in our next segment, too.
Right. Now let's shift our gaze south to Mexico. Our sources describe it as edging closer to a destabilizing confrontation. The Jalisco New Generation Cartel, CJNG, is expanding aggressively, consistently undermining the Sheinbaum government's authority, creating a very dangerous situation.
Indeed. CJNG's rapid militarization and deep infiltration of local institutions pose a direct challenge to Mexico's national sovereignty. And our sources note cartels like CJNG aren't just drug traffickers anymore. They've diversified extensively into contraband, human smuggling, illegal mining, even cybercrime.
Cybercrime too, wow.
Yeah. One analyst we read even described them as shadow corporations, operating with ruthless efficiency, like legitimate businesses, but with violent enforcement. This diversification deeply entrenches their economic power. It complicates government efforts to dismantle them. It's all detailed in articles like Cartel Rising in Mexico.
And this cartel issue isn't just a domestic Mexican problem, is it? It's directly impacting U.S.-Mexico relations. President Claudia Sheinbaum swiftly denied any formal agreement with the DEA's Project Cortero. That project aimed to tighten border enforcement. She insisted Mexico won't allow unilateral operations on its soil. That clearly signals a very firm stance on national autonomy.
Absolutely. And what's particularly insightful here is that while figures like Ismael El Mayo Zambada, he's a Sinaloa cartel co-founder, while he is expected to plead guilty in a U.S. court, experts caution that these cartel networks are incredibly resilient.
They just adapt.
They quickly adapt, reorganize under new leadership, suggesting that removing key figures doesn't dismantle the underlying power structures. You see articles on Zambada's expected plea, but also Mexico denying the DEA agreement. It shows the complexity. The struggle against CJNG really illustrates what happens when national sovereignty erodes and powerful non-state actors fill the vacuum. This reflects a challenge all nations face as transnational, unaccountable forces threaten national and human autonomy,
Right.
operating beyond traditional state control, reflecting what some of our sources describe as globalist agendas.
Okay, turning now to global economic relations. Washington's latest tariff moves on Indian exports, specifically targeting textiles, pharmaceuticals, tech inputs. They're starting to ripple across markets, raise concerns, and India, in turn, has warned of proportionate countermeasures, signaling a potential trade war brewing.
Yeah, and this escalating friction threatens one of the 21st century's most important bilateral relationships.
Yeah.
The U.S. has strategically seen India as a crucial counterweight to China's growing influence, valuing its democracy, its economy, its location,
Right, a key partner.
a key partner. But these trade tensions risk eroding trust, complicating vital defense cooperation between the two nations. Globally, these tariffs function as hidden taxes, really, raising costs for importers, pushing prices higher for consumers, potentially fueling another wave of inflation, just as many economies are trying to stabilize.
Not what anyone needs right now.
Exactly. Our sources mention India and China hailing warming ties amid what they describe as a Trump-induced geopolitical shakeup, and India strongly emphasizing a desire for U.S. ties based on mutual respect, especially after previous tariff increases.
It certainly feels like a moment where economic nationalism will eclipse strategic cooperation. But is there an argument that these moves, while disruptive, are maybe a necessary recalibration in a shifting global economic landscape, even if the costs are high?
That's a valid point to consider. I mean, from one perspective, these actions could be framed as a nation asserting its economic interests, rebalancing trade. But stepping back, what this situation ultimately signifies is the interconnected nature of trade policy, economics, and geopolitics. It's more than just duties and trade balances. It's a litmus test. Does economic leverage become a form of financial warfare, forcing nations to make difficult choices between asserting sovereignty and maintaining a fragile global interdependence? The implications: they could reshape alliances and global supply chains for years to come.
Okay, finally, let's shift gears to a natural event, but one with huge, potentially devastating implications for the U.S. coastline. The 2025 Atlantic hurricane season is predicted to be one of the most active in decades. Forecasters calling for, what, up to 25 named storms? That's alarming.
It is alarming, and the conditions are almost perfect for rapid storm intensification. We're seeing record warm ocean waters and a developing La Niña pattern. For those unfamiliar, La Niña in the Pacific tends to reduce wind shear in the Atlantic.
Making it easier for storms to form and strengthen.
Exactly. Creates more favorable conditions for powerful hurricane development. Combine this with rising sea levels, the long-term Atlantic warming cycle. The stage is undeniably set for a volatile, dangerous season. Hurricane Erin is the first storm to capture global attention. Described as near historical, over 500 miles wide, one of the largest storms ever recorded.
Huge.
Massive. Even though it's projected to largely remain offshore, it's already battering the East Coast. Rough surf, rip currents, significant flooding in low-lying areas, it's all being reported right now.
And officials are rightly urging communities along the Atlantic seaboard to treat Erin as a significant warning shot, demonstrating the raw, destructive potential of this season. It's a stark reminder of nature's power, isn't it?
It really is. This rapid intensification of Erin reflects a troubling new pattern for storm behavior, whether you see it as a cycle of climate volatility or, as some of our sources suggest, through the lens of potential weather modification. Erin symbolizes disruption and unpredictability. But in a broader sense, it also represents an awakening. Just as powerful storms can rise suddenly from warming seas, moments of profound truth can emerge unexpectedly from suppressed narratives. Erin, in its immense power and sudden arrival, serves as a powerful metaphor for our current global situation, calling us to prepare, adapt, and step beyond fear into discernment. So what does this all mean when we connect these dots? When we look at these five seemingly separate stories, the Fed showdown, troops in Washington, Mexico's cartel surge, U.S.-India tariffs, Hurricane Erin, we start to see they are not isolated
Right,
crises.
they're connected.
They're threads of a much bigger tapestry, revealing a global system under strain. It's a system where traditional institutions, from central banks to national borders, are being rigorously tested by both internal political pressures and external evolving threats. The battle over financial independence and political control at the Fed exposes what our sources call the illusion of neutrality in economic governance, meaning even decisions by supposedly apolitical bodies, like setting interest rates, are increasingly seen through a political lens, affecting everything from your mortgage rates to national stability. The militarization in D.C. raises alarms about power consolidating under fear, testing that delicate balance between security and liberty, making us question the role of federal force.
Yeah.
Mexico's cartel war reveals the collapse of state power, the rise of parallel systems of control, non-state actors carving out their own spheres of influence, bypassing national governments, challenging sovereignty. Big implications for international stability. The U.S.-India tariffs demonstrate how economic leverage can become a form of financial warfare. exposing the fragility of interconnected systems, forcing nations to choose sovereignty over subservience in this shifting global economy. And finally, Hurricane Erin. Its immense, unpredictable power symbolizes disruption, but it also serves as a teacher, urging us to prepare, adapt, step beyond fear into discernment regarding the challenges we face.
What a deep dive. You see how by decoding these mainstream headlines, really looking at them through a critical lens, we've uncovered a single powerful narrative unfolding in real time. It's about more than just the facts. It's how we interpret, integrate, and respond to them that truly shapes our individual and collective journey. This truly reveals the same pattern. Centralized control straining against the rise of truth, sovereignty, and what many are calling an awakening.
Indeed. What our sources describe as the Great Awakening is not just a theoretical concept. It is unfolding in real time, evidenced by these very headlines. Each story, each signal urges us to reclaim our discernment, resist illusions of control, and consciously choose sovereignty in every sphere, be it economic, political, or spiritual.
A truly powerful thought to chew on as you go about your week. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the week's mainstream media news. Until next time, keep seeking that truth. Stay curious and keep connecting those dots.